Good morning. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday and Reformation Day Sunday. We have multiple announcements. Nancy.
All right, I lied. Last week I said we were sending in the church directory. We had so many changes that we said this is the last week. So please come see me out in the hallway to double check your name, address, phone number. We're not collecting emails. I am sending it in Wednesday morning, bright and early. So you have up until Tuesday to email me, call me, but I'd rather have you see me out in the hallway. Okay? Thank you.
Gary.
Good morning. Next Saturday is our trustees' fall cleanup. If everyone could come and just give a little time, that would be great. Bring some yard stuff, bring your elbow grease, so on and so forth. We're going to be set up in room 2. That'll be our main station area because of Weight Watchers down in Fellowship Hall for a little while. So come and give us a hand for a little time if you can. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Eric Vail here on behalf of Membership and Visitation. And you saw what happened on the East Coast. They got a lot of snow. Well, needless to say, we're going to get some snow this winter, too. And we head up to the parking lot valet service, and we're short a few people right now. So if you can help us out this winter, if you make a note in the hospitality register, see me, call me, email me, whatever way you can, we could use your help. Thanks.
Good morning again. As you all know, we're in the midst of the our stewardship season right now. And so in that light, we would like to thank you for your pledges and gifts that you've already given this year. As most of you know, we had a huge computer crash this spring. And thanks to Gordon Chapman and Vicki Gutiel, we finally have third quarter statements, your giving pledge statements, ready. They will be available in the fellowship hall immediately after the service, and you can pick them up then. Okay? Thanks.
Good news is ham dinner is history.
For this year.
Maybe. Who knows? We had good turnout. We planned for more people. We had 370 people that we served. So we didn't go broke on the dinner. But we've got lots of leftovers. So if you're wondering what you're having for Sunday dinner, it might be ham, squash, and potatoes. Come down and help us sell out what's left after in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
Linda.
Good morning. It's Fusion Sunday, formerly called Family Sunday. And with that, we have our grand opening of the Fusion Room. The Fusion Room is a place where our Sunday school children can go for special events and activities with guests from our very own congregation. So, we invite all of you to join us today in our Fusion Room, which is across from the Adult Lounge in Room 4, after service, and we will have some donut holes, some ciders, some apples, and even a fun little art activity that even parents can do. Adults, children, anyone. So we welcome all of you to come join us after service. Thank you.
Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Today is Fusion Sunday.
I know. I brought my Fusion smoothie so I could celebrate Fusion Sunday. This one's strawberry bananas. Strawberries are fused with bananas to make a smoothie. Fusion.
Well, I guess in kind of a weird way, you might say that Fusion Sunday is a bit like...
Are you saying that Fusion Sunday is a smoothie?
Maybe. Sounds yummy. No, but on Fusion Sunday, we celebrate our love for God by bringing lots of different people together. Babies and their noises, toddlers and their giggles, children and their wiggles, adolescents, young adults, older adults, everybody, in order to worship God together. The difference is we don't put everyone in a blender in order to make them all the same. We do, however, want to shake it up a little. So that worship is about using words, we're very good at that, to praise God, and also using our different experiences to praise God.
So that the wiggles of toddlers and the wisdom of older adults are fused in the worship of God. Sacred fusion happens when we truly live out the reality of being the body of Christ together.
And we know that sometimes it's smooth. Come on, that's funny. Sometimes it's smooth. Thank you. And sometimes it's not. And sometimes it ends up all over the ceiling. But it doesn't matter, because we all belong to God's community, and everyone is welcome.
Indeed, we are all welcomed in this place. Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. And I need your help on this. When we say, shake it up, or when you say, shake it up, I want you to shake it up. So let's try. Shake it up. Good job. Shake up the morning. For God has given us a gift beyond imagination, grace through Jesus Christ. For God has given us an invitation beyond belief, inclusion in God's family. For God has given us a vision beyond expectation, peace and justice for all people. Shake up the morning, praise God. Thank you. Please join me for the prayer confession printed in the bulletin. Forgive us, Lord, for we have turned away from you. We have trusted in our own power rather than your power. We have trusted in our own cleverness rather than your wisdom. We have trusted in our own deeds rather than your grace. Merciful God, forgive us. God, hear our silent prayers. Amen. The good news in Christ is that God forgives us and invites us to live fully in the present. Praise be to God.
There.
Right here. Have a seat. Wow, so this is a little different, meeting over here rather than over there. Sometimes I think it's just good to shake things up and do things a little different. So what do you think about meeting here rather than in front of the pulpit? It's weird? Weird, everybody agrees it's weird? It's weird. Yeah, because sometimes when you do things new and different, it really does feel a little weird. In fact, it makes you feel a little shaky inside, doesn't it? Don't know what to expect. I'm going to tell you a story this morning about a man who did things a little bit different. His name is Martin Luther. And a long time ago, he was very, very, very connected to his church. But he thought, maybe we can do things differently. And maybe we can reflect God's love better than we are reflecting God's love. He looked around, he prayed a lot, he studied his Bible a lot, and he thought a lot. And he decided that it was very important that the church make some changes. In fact, he really wanted everybody to know that they were loved regardless of how much money they had or even how much money they gave to the church. He also really wanted the people to know that they needed to study their Bible. So one day in his town in Germany, he walked down the street and he nailed his ideas on a church door. Well, that doesn't seem so bad, does it? But it caused a whole lot of chaos. And people became very concerned because he had all these ideas that he thought he needed to share. But it turned out to be a really good thing because it gave people a new way to think about things. And in fact, it was the foundation for us becoming Presbyterians. So you're going to learn more about him today. You'll see in a few minutes. So let's have a prayer together. Thank you, God, for helping us to always look at things in a new way. Amen. All right. So next week, you want to meet here or you want to meet up there? Here. All right. You may go back to your families.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Tell of God's salvation from day to day. Declare God's glory among the nations. God's marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God is to be revered above all gods, for all the gods of all of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before God. Strength and beauty are in God's sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to God's name. Bring an offering and come into God's courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor and tremble before God, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. God will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for God is coming. For God is coming to the earth, and God will judge the world with righteousness and the people with God's truth. And our second scripture reading this morning is in the New Testament. Have to flip the big Bible all the way over to Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law through faith in Christ Jesus. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing.
He is, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy Jesus cares. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, I know Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, I'm so glad He cares. He is everything to me, He is Lord of all. I'm so glad that Jesus cares. Glory, hallelujah, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Glory, glory, hallelujah, I'm so glad that Jesus cares. Glory, hallelujah, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus loves me. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, Jesus cares. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares.
Jesus loves me.
I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. I'm so happy Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy that Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy Jesus cares.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh, I'm so happy, so very happy. I know He loves me.
That was wonderful. Thank you. For indeed, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This beloved hymn touches our hearts, makes us dance, and for many of us, brings to mind our early Sunday school years. But it does more than just trigger memories. It boils the complexity of our Reformed tradition down to 12 words. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, not because I'm an ethical person, not because I serve the poor, not because I work on church fundraisers, not even because I give money to the church. In Paul's letter that Melissa read, Paul wrote to the congregation in Galatia, "No one can please God by simply obeying the law. So we put our faith in Christ Jesus, and God accepts us because of our faith. Jesus loves me, this I know." Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, wrestled with this theology of God's acceptance. He studied his Bible. And the more he studied, the more he was convinced that the practices of the Catholic Church in 1517 just didn't reflect the gracious love of God as it's revealed in Scripture.
Sent me to exceptional schools and eventually to the university to study law. But I hated law. Philosophy and theology were more to my liking. They were much more interesting. So I hired a tutor to teach me philosophy to make my education just a bit more bearable. And the tutor taught me to be suspicious of even the greatest thinkers. And now here I stand, questioning the Roman Catholic Church. How did it get to this? Well, the journey began a long time ago. It was when I was studying law at the university, and one weekend I started yearning a home-cooked meal, so I went home. I just loved my mother's home-cooked dinners. and it was wonderful to be in the comfort of my family again. Anyway, on Sunday afternoon, I finished dinner, and oh, what a great dinner it was. And I knew it was getting late, and I needed to leave for the university, but my family was lingering at the table, and I was torn. I wanted to be with them, but it was time to go. Well, no, actually, it was past time to go. And so I said my goodbyes, I mounted my horse, and headed back to school. And in the distance, I could see the black clouds forming. And my horse seemed uneasy. I was uneasy. When suddenly, a bolt of lightning struck the ground right next to me, and the horse reared up, and I yelled out, "Help, St. Anna, and I will become a monk." Yes, it happened that quickly. I made a vow to the Almighty. And so I left law school, and I joined the Black Cloister. And my father, oh, he was furious. He thought it was a waste of my education, and worse, a waste of his money. I, however, dedicated myself to the monastic life. My days were full of fasting and praying and confessing. And yet, I confess, I only knew despair during those monastery days. Somehow, I lost touch with Christ, the Savior and Comforter. And I thought of him more as Christ, the jailer and hangman. So my superiors thought I needed a distraction from my compulsive introspection. It was agreed by all that I was better suited for an academic career. So in 1507, I was ordained to the priesthood, and I began to teach theology at the University of Wittenberg. It was a better fit, but it didn't diminish the continuous searching of my soul, nor did it quiet the voice of my philosophy tutor. It seemed to be planted in my head. Be suspicious of even the greatest thinker. And I was suspicious. And I am suspicious. I'm particularly suspicious of the Archbishop. I'm suspicious of the Pope. Suspicious of Jonathan Tetzel. Tetzel was sent by the Pope to sell indulgences. You know what an indulgence is? It is a little like a get-out-of-jail-free card. With an indulgence, one is granted a reduction or even elimination of things that one must do in order to receive God's forgiveness for a sin that one has committed. And yes, you guessed it. These divine pardons are for sale. Nice. Now that is a creative way to put a roof on a cathedral. At Tetzel, he makes my skin crawl. Of course, I know that as Roman Catholics, we believe the good works get us back into the good graces of God. But this cash exchange for forgiveness, it's wrong. Plus, there is more to it. Tetzel also claims that a loved one needs to purchase these indulgences for their dead loved ones. He claims that it is only when the money exchanges hands that the dead are risen to heaven. That is not the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Has this Tetzel conned the Pope, or has the Pope conned Tetzel? It's just madness, if you ask me. But then no one did ask me, did they? I guess I was a fool when I wrote that letter to the Archbishop. I thought he would welcome my theological analysis and concerns about this man, Tetzel, that it would help him understand the pain of that widow who learns that her beloved deceased husband can only go to heaven when she coughs up the cash And what about those words of the Apostle Paul? For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But the Archbishop didn't even answer my letter. Doesn't he understand? We can do nothing, I mean nothing, without to earn the love of God, because God is God. God is our Creator, our Savior. God loves us because God created us and decided to love. We are saved by faith alone, not by good deeds, not by kind acts, and certainly not by money. My friends, does God condemn us and condemn the poor to hell because they cannot pay? Certainly not. Does God send a sick person away because she can't work? No, absolutely not. God loves us all, forgives us all, and welcomes us all. That is the amazing grace of God. Oh, yes. Yes, I have many more big questions for that bunch of scoundrels in Rome. Such as, why didn't the Archbishop answer my letter? And why does Tetzel still roam the countryside selling real estate in heaven? Does the Pope need money to complete the reconstruction of the Basilica of St. Peter? Does the Archbishop need cash to pay off the Pope for his appointment? I wonder. I remember the hollow sound and the heavy sound of the hammer hitting the wood as I nailed my 95 theses to the door of the castle church on October 31st, 1517. It echoed through the lives of the villagers seeking to be faithful. It bounced off the self-indulgent religious leaders gouging the poor. And it rolled into the hearts of the protesting Christians reforming the church. I remember the heavy sound of the hammer hitting the wood on the church door. It was October 31st, 1517. It was the beginning of the Reformation of the Christian Church.
We are God's church, reformed and reforming. Throughout the ages, God has called humanity to new directions, fusing the past with the present, with the future. Let us welcome the sacred shaking up of God as we move in new ways toward God's vision of shalom. Amen.
Thank you.
every week as our children are in church school, their Sunday school teachers ask them for prayers. They write them down and bring them into worship. And so, children, all of your prayers are prayed by this community. And on these Fusion Sundays, our children are invited to give their own voice to their prayers. So parents and caregivers, make sure you ask your children if they have any prayers that they would like to share out loud this morning, because they are also invited to do so. So of all ages and generations, we raise to God and one another our joys and our concerns.
Hi, Ron Samuel. I have two prayers to ask for. One for my brother-in-law. Continue on recovery from having a pacemaker put in. And to my brother and his wife, Carol. She lost her mother last night. And prayers for the family. She'll be missed dearly.
I pray for all the poor people to get the money to find a home. Amen.
Bill DeSero, in all of our lives, there's always a lot of momentous times. And last week, we were able to experience one of those times as Tubby and my son, Brian, got married to his now wife, Jeanette. And I want to express our gratitude to Carol Ann for a wonderful service and extending her little personal insights, which made the service very memorable for us. And I'd also like to extend our gratitude to our church family who have, and over the years, have helped shape our Brian in so many different ways. Thank you all.
If I could, I'd like to ask friends for a big prayer for my friend of 50 years, just lost her 56-year-old daughter, and it's been rough.
Tammy Tackling, I just wanted to say it's nice to shake things up.
Amen.
And Brenda Thornton asked for prayers for her brother who's having cancer surgery this week, and prayers this week for Brian Weber as well. He has an infection and is at strong now.
Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy Lord, on this Reformation Sunday, we thank you for those persons you have poured your spirit into that then set about reforming your church. We thank you that you are still at work in the life of our church, reforming us, reshaping us, remaking us, shaking us up into your image. And one of the ways we reflect your image, Lord, is how we care for one another with love, with care and prayer. And we pray for those who are in the hospital today, those who are home with illness, pains, recovering from treatments or surgeries, those in nursing homes and homebound. We pray for their families and also for the doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, and caretakers. Lord, may we reflect your image in our love, care, and prayer that we put to action for these your children. We reflect your image, O God, in how we love, care, and pray for the world. We pray for those around the world who face imprisonment. We pray for those countries torn by civil war, for people living in poverty and in starvation. And we pray for those who have been affected by disasters like the earthquake in Turkey. Lord, may we put into action our love, care, and prayers for the world. And we pray for your church, that we may be a beacon of hope, grace, love, and light in this world. May our open doors reflect your open arms to all. May our arms and hands reaching out to those in need
reflect your love for all. And may our forgiveness of one another reflect your forgiveness for all. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray together the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And may we celebrate the many gifts in our lives by offering a portion of them back to God. Let us worship God with our morning offering.
God of the faithful, we give thanks for your abundant blessings. Thank you for our fathers and mothers in the faith who sometimes with significant risk stood up for their beliefs. Give us the courage to speak out and speak up, that we might share your merciful love and grow in grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
That we go with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.